Have a seat.
Thanks a lot. Patty, Russell Crowe's looking for you in the lobby. Thank you, Michael and Jeff, for asking me to teach. Appreciate it. Did you ask me to teach? I'm going to teach on freedom in service. You can go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love," what? Serve one another. You've been called unto liberty. You could walk out of here tonight and never come back, never think about God again. Would you be gathered together?
Yes.
Would God still love you?
Yes.
Would God still want to help you?
Yes.
So it's not that. It doesn't say here, serve one another or I will kill you, does it? Is that what it says? Or serve one another or I will make you sick? Does it say that?
No.
No, you've been called to liberty. You can do what you want. But God would prefer that you what? Serve one another. And that's the greatest way to live, to be a servant, to serve one another. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, and that's the occasion is that from which anything proceeds, a starting place. You don't just use your liberty to do whatever you feel like or go crazy or sell crack in downtown Athens or whatever goes on around here. I don't know. Do they have crack in Athens? No. Okay. But by love, and by is through or as proceeding from, because you love people, what should you do? Serve people. And that's just what God has called us to do. He's called us to serve each other because we love each other so much. If you love somebody, you really care about them. You care about their welfare. You want them to be okay. You want them to be taken care of. You want them to be peaceful. You want them to be healed. And because you love people, you will serve people. And God has called us to serve each other. And that's what He would like for us to do. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Who's Philippians 2, I heard that back there. Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you." Go crazy. Is that what it says?
No.
"Let this mind be in you, which was also in" who? And "let this mind be in you" could be translated, "think in this manner within yourselves." Think like Jesus Christ. So God has asked us in His word to think like who? Jesus Christ. Think like Jesus Christ. I wish there was a way to know what He thought. Well, there is. It's called the Gospels. And we're going to look at some of them. Look at Matthew 20. Think in this manner within yourselves. When you're thinking about your life and what you're doing with your life and your relationship to other people, think like Jesus Christ thought. When you're thinking about being a believer, what you're supposed to do, think like Jesus Christ thought. And in Matthew 20, here's a record of how Jesus Christ thought. Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, "Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him." So you know who Zebedee's children were? James and John, you know, two of the apostles. They had their mom come and ask Jesus Christ a favor. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine? "Mom, can you ask Jesus a favor? Just a little favor." Yeah, just a little thing. And He said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto Him, "Not much. Just grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Can you just make my two kids the top dogs in your kingdom, please? I don't know. Do you think they knew? "Mom, can you ask Jesus Christ if we can be the top two guys in His kingdom?" But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" "Yeah, whatever they say, we are able." "Sure." They say to Him, "We are able." And He saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is prepared of my Father. And when the 10, you know, these are the 12 apostles, and when the 10 heard it, they forgave them and moved on. Isn't it amazing that these 12 apostles, who were such great men, were concerned about who was the top dog in the organization, you know, their status in the group and all that kind of stuff. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with what? Indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus said, I need 12 more apostles. You guys are so carnal. What do you care about your status in this little group? No, that's not what he said. He was amazing. He just worked with people and loved people. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know, guys, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, and that's not our group, right? In the world, the culture of the world is, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. In the Gentile culture, the world's culture, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And that means they lord it over people. You know, do this, do that. Bring under one's power. They exercise lordship over. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And exercise authority means to exercise of you or use excessive or arbitrary authority. Do you know what arbitrary means? Whatever you feel like. They just do whatever they want, and they just tell people, I need some tea right now. You go get that right now. You know, just push people around, order people around. That's the Gentile culture. But, verse 26, it shall what? That's not how we operate. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. Let him be your minister. Let him be your servant, see? And in our culture, the believer culture, we serve each other. We don't have the big shots, the movie stars, the people who go on the red carpet with their Klingon outfits that three-year-olds make or whatever goes on here. That's the world culture. In our culture, we're servants. In the believer culture, we serve each other. It's just the greatest way to be. It's the greatest group to belong to. What? How are you supposed to be towards me? Serve me. No. But how am I supposed to? That sounds great. But how am I supposed to be towards you? Your servant. You're servants to the people around you. I'm a servant to the people, to the other believers. And that's our culture. We serve each other. We don't have the, like Jerry said, we don't have the kings. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body. But we're servants, and we serve each other. We take care of each other. That's what Jesus Christ. Then he goes, verse 27, and whosoever will be your chief, let him be your what? Servant. And even as the Son of Man came not, look at this. Did he come for everybody to serve him? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. He came to be a servant. And that's your Lord. He came to serve people and to give. To serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's our culture, the believer culture. We serve each other. We give of ourselves to each other. We take care of each other. We watch out for each other. We don't care about the status. We don't care about who's the movie star or who's number one. We all serve each other. We all take care of each other. Look at Luke. No, look at 1 John 3. Isn't that cool? That's what I love about the body of Christ. We don't have that status thing. People don't push each other around and all that. We have love here. Loving service. 1 John 3. You want to know you're in a group like this? What are you supposed to do? Be a servant to somebody. It starts, help somebody. You know, find someone that you can help. Ask God if you can help somebody. Ask somebody if they need anything. Of course, that drives you crazy after a while, doesn't it? Like, everyone, do you need anything? No. 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 I don't need anything! Look for ways to help. It starts with help one person. You know, find someone tomorrow that you can help. Think of yourself as a servant to the other people, not the top dog. And we don't try to work our way to the top. We stay on the bottom like Jesus Christ. We're humble. We're meek. Look for someone you can help. In 1 John 3, verse 16, says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, what, Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for us. He laid down his whole life for us. That's our example. He gave everything he had for you and I, even when we were sinners. He laid down his life for us. And then what does it say? And we ought to lay down our lives, what? For the brethren. That's what God has asked us to do. He laid down his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought. And ought means we owe, we're indebted, we're obligated because of what God in Christ did for us to lay down our lives for each other. We just lay it all out there. We'll put ourselves out for people. We'll give what we have for people. We take care of each other because we love each other. Look at Luke 22. And we are free to do that since we're born again. And there's no really greater way to live than to serve people, to be a servant of God like he's called us to be. In Luke 22, isn't it fun to just try to take care of people and be kind to people and love people and help people with whatever you got? Put your heart into people, be kind, tender-hearted with people. It's the greatest way to be. And we're free to do that. In Luke 22, what was so funny? Huh? What does it say? Oh, okay, sorry. I thought I said something really funny. I didn't want to miss it. If I said something really funny, I wanted to hear it myself. Luke 22, verse 24, it says, and there was also, yeah, look at this. You think the apostles were perfect? They were always fighting about who was the coolest. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted what? Can you imagine, you know, they're walking around with Jesus Christ and he hears them fighting behind him, you know. I think Peter, no, I think I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I think I'm the greatest. That's what they were doing. And he said unto them once again, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. He said, that's not how you're going to be. That's not how you should be. That's how the world is. You know, that's part of this, the fundamentals of the world that these guys were talking about. It's like, you know, you work your way to the top, you get rich, you get power, you get position, and then you are mean to everybody else and they have to serve you. That's not how the believers are. The believers are humble. They're meek. They're kind. They're tender. They take care of each other. You know, we're not concerned about all that status stuff. In verse 25, it says, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as what? The younger, like just, you know, the younger didn't have no status. And he that is chief as he that what? Does serve. And then he goes, for whether is greater, and here's an example that he gives about this. So you got to try to picture this. For whether is greater. All right, well, who's greater? You know where we eat the meals? What's that called? The onion room? The reunion room? What's it called? The what? That's what they call it? That's not very original. The dining room? Okay, well, you know the dining room where we eat? Who are the greatest people in that room? Well, look. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that what? In that room, who's greater according to God? The guys with the nose rings. Why? Well, because they have cool jewelry, for one thing. And they wear all black. That's very nice. But they're the servants. And look at this. For whether is greater, 27 again, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat? You know, in the world, the guy being served, you guys being served by those guys, in the world, you'd be considered the great ones, right? And the guys are just serving you. But in our culture, in the believer culture, verse 27 again says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, you know, in the Gentile culture. But what does he say? I am among you as he that what? Serveth. The example of Jesus Christ in that dining room, if you want to see what Jesus Christ is like, who should you look at? The guys who are serving. Because that's what Jesus Christ came to do, to serve and to give his life. So when you have breakfast tomorrow, look for an example of what Jesus Christ was like. Who would it be? The guy ordering everyone around and asking for more bacon? Or the guy with the nose ring pouring the coffee? That's the example. The servant. You understand? One of them does it, but I asked him why and he didn't appreciate it. Verse 26, it says, the word serve is to serve, to render service, to wait upon, to wait at a table. And the leaders in the church administration are people who run to serve. They're servants. And God has asked us to, by love, proceeding because of our love for each other, we're tender towards each other, we really care about each other, we think of ourselves as servants to each other. We serve each other. Look at Romans 15. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's all you need to know. And tomorrow, be a servant. And you don't have to be a servant to everyone in this room. Be a servant to one person. Dylan. And find him a wife. You asked for it, Dylan. What are you doing there, Kami? I don't know. Just trying to help. Romans 15:1. We that are strong ought to criticize the weak and tell them that we are strong. What's it say? We that are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities. To bear means to carry, to put that on our shoulders. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, the weaknesses of the weak. And what? Great. We're not here to please ourselves. Do you even know how to please yourself? I don't know what makes me happy half the time. But I know that when I'm giving and when I'm helping people, that's some of the greatest fulfillment I have in my life. Some of the greatest times is when I've got my mind off myself, like Jerry says, and just trying to help someone else. That's so fulfilling. It's so wonderful. It says, verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Let's try to take care of each other, build each other up. For even Christ pleased not himself. He didn't please himself. He didn't just live his life to bless himself or please himself. And please means to seek to please, to seek to gratify yourselves. We don't live our lives just to make ourselves happy or find that thing that's going to do it for us. We live to help others. We live to take care of others like Jesus Christ. For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached me, fell on me. He took the burden. He took the reproaches. And reproaches is the insults and the defamation. You know, he took our sins upon himself. He died for our sins, like we've learned this weekend. And that's how he lived his life. If you want to picture what Jesus Christ is like, think of a servant. Not somebody, you know, at the top, yelling at everybody and ordering everybody around. Someone who put himself below everybody and took care of everybody and watched out for everybody and gave his life, everything he had, for you and I. Look at John 13. John 13. This is a great record. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, asked everybody to do stuff for him. Now picture this. This is how Jesus Christ thought. And you can picture this in your mind. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and what? Girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin. And what did he do? He started serving them. He served them. And began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was going. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ washing their feet, you know, and with the towel and all that kind of stuff, to wipe them with the towel that he was girded in? That's the picture that God has given us of how Jesus Christ was. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, wait a little while, Peter, you'll figure it out. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He worked with a lot of crazy people like you and I, you know? Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "You are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you?" And they go, "Yeah, you washed our feet." But here's the example. He gave them an example of how they were supposed to treat each other by being servants to each other. "You call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. But a master and Lord in our administration is a servant, not the big shot. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to what? Serve each other. Serve each other. How should you be in a group like this? Just be a servant. Who cares about your status? Who cares what people think of you? Just take care of each other. Look for things you can do for each other. Ask God for the right thing to say. Ask God to be at the right place. Ask God for someone to help. Be a servant. You know, we come from different areas, different groups. Who's the coolest from this group? Who's the coolest from that group? Who cares? Just serve each other. Take care of each other. Nobody's that cool. Well, there's one, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. But it's a girl, by the way. No. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example." I have given you an example, and that's the example, "that you should do as I have done unto you." That you should do as I have done unto you. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things," what? "Happy are ye if you do them." You're blessed when you serve. And if you're having a hard time and, you know, all into your own mind and all into your own problems, serve. Help somebody else and you'll be blessed. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20. Everybody is equally important in here, so anyone you take care of in here is an important person. You know, in the world it would be, find out who the big shots are and kiss their, what's the right word? Kiss their, what's the proper word? Culo, culio? Culito. And some of you, it's not a culito. It's much bigger than that. But in our culture, find another believer and serve them. You understand? What good does it do if a leader thinks you're the coolest person? God's opinion is what counts, isn't it? Yeah, and maybe that leader, their opinion doesn't mean nothing. Well, maybe it does, but I'm just saying, we want to please God, and we serve God. What did I say? I'm lost. Acts 20, sorry. Acts 20, verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to" what? "Support the weak." Support the weak. Take care of people. Support the weak. "And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is" what? "More blessed to give than to receive." And that word blessed is blessed or happy. You'll be more blessed in your life as you give. And can't we all give? We can give our heart, we can give our time, our attention, we can pray for each other. If we have material things, we can give them to people to help them. We go out of our way for each other. And what a great group to be a part of, don't you think? The body of Christ, isn't it just wonderful? And we don't have people we have to be afraid of, you know? We don't have people we have to be afraid of if they're going to reject us or something like that, because we're all accepted by God, and we just take care of each other. We, by love, serve each other. Philippians? No, go to Galatians 6. No, go to Philippians. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this clock here. I know you gotta have, what's for snacks tonight? Where's Ryan? Because Ryan is the most important person here. And you know how you can tell? He always has a designer backpack. If you wanna know what's in, look to Ryan or Jesse Carr. I think, I'm not, quiet. Philippians 2. But what is for snacks tonight? Nobody, Jay? Jay is the most important in here. Where's Jay?
Back here.
What's for snacks?
A lot of stuff.
All right. You'll be there soon. Philippians 2. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Does God want us to be of one accord, of one mind?
Yes.
Yeah. Fighting with each other, comparing each other? No. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And strife is electioneering, like, vote for me. Don't do anything to get people's votes. You know, like, I want to be the most popular. I want to be number one. Don't ever act that way in the body of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, which is just pride, empty pride. But in lowliness of mind, this is what God's word says, how we're supposed to be. Lowliness of mind is having a humble opinion of oneself. You know you're little. You know you need help. You're not Mr. Big or Miss Big. You know you're little in this. You need God, and you're humble. Having a humble opinion of oneself, this is cool, a deep sense of one's littleness. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other, what? Better. Esteem means you decide to think this way. You lead this before your mind. Let each esteem other better, and better is to have or hold up on high, to have above, to be superior. So, who's superior here? Everybody but you. Isn't that cool? Like, because you're humble, and you just hold everyone else up on high. What's it go? God first, others second, and what? I am willing to be third. What a great group to be a part of. We get together like this, and everyone's just so kind and looking out to help each other. And if there's a need, people rush to meet it. They treat people like they're important, and everybody's important in the body of Christ. And we just serve each other. We hold each other on high. Look not every man on his own things. Look means to regard or direct one's attention to. His own things means himself, herself, itself, themselves. Don't just think about yourself. Don't just think about your problems or your goods or whatever you're doing. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on what? The other. Every man also on the things of others. And others is the other. Get your mind off yourself and think of the other. Like the other people in this room. And serve them and take care of them. Watch out for them. Let this mind be in you, verse 5. And I told you that. Think in this manner within yourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a hard translation. It could be translated, being in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God plunder. He didn't use his status to get for himself. Was he not offered everything, the power and glory of the world? Could he have been the richest guy in the world, the most popular guy in the world? He didn't care. He was the only begotten Son of God. He did not use his status to get for himself, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I just love this. That is, instead, he emptied himself of reputation. He just, it wasn't about himself. And you want to be free? Just forget yourself. Forget that you got to have this and you got to have that and people got to treat you this way and people got to treat you that way and you're unhappy about this and unhappy about yourself. Empty yourself. It's not about yourself. It's about God and it's about the others. And that's freedom. You're free from your own crazy self and your selfishness and all that kind of stuff. He emptied himself of reputation, taking the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave everything. He gave everything he had for you and I. And that's, we're asked to not die for each other, but be living sacrifices and take care of each other, serve each other. Boy, that takes care of so much, doesn't it? Just doesn't matter what people think of you. Don't worry about your reputation. Just enjoy serving each other. And you know, giving is receiving. That's just the greatest way to be. And that's a lot of freedom, free from yourself. Think about that. You know, serving God pays. God pays. When you give, what? You receive. When you give, you receive. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 9. Oh, no, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, what? He reaps. So when you give a lot, what happens? You get back. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's not get tired of just doing kind and good things for each other. Why? For in due season we shall what? God always pays back. God's the best payer backer, right? And when you give, you receive. God makes sure to pay you back. And that's he's the greatest one to get stuff from, is God. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, and that's a measure of time. You know, your lifetime here on earth is just a short measure of time. And while you're here, you can do things for people and get rewarded for it. God will pay you back for that. And you don't have a really long time to help other people here on earth, do you? You can use your time to help people, to walk for God, to serve the believers, to get people born again, to use those 9 manifestations to serve people and help people, to serve God's word to people. You just have a short amount of time to do that, and you get rewarded for all those cool things that you do by God. Opportunity means measure of time, the right time, the convenient time. This is the time that we have to take care of each other and to serve. We get together like this. It's a great time to serve people, to take care of people, to watch out for people. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto what? All. Well, it just says men. Oh, no, that's in italics. Especially unto them who are like the people in this room. Especially to these guys right here. Go ahead, look around. Don't be embarrassed. These guys. Be especially good to each other. Especially good to each other. So look at Galatians 5 again. 13. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't just live for yourself and go crazy. You know, stealing people's dogs and stuff like that. Crazy stuff. Collecting, well, I'm not going to say that either. Okay. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but what? By love serve one another. And I want to read this that Dr. Rello wrote years ago, The Secret to a Holy Life, to close. And it says, the secret to a holy life is to get your eyes off your own inadequacies and onto the Father and His glory. Our service, and remember this, is first and foremost to God. God wants you to love Him. God wants you to love Him. Our service is first and foremost to God and with God, not always to man. To walk worthily is to walk with thanksgiving to God first and foremost. Did you bless God today? Did you thank God for anything today? That's first. God is first. to walk worthily is to walk with thanks. Well, if you didn't, then you should feel guilty. No, to walk worthy is to walk with thanksgiving to God, first and foremost. The secret to a holy life is not the labor we do, but just to love Him first and foremost. That's first. Just love God. That blesses God. You know, sometimes you can't bless people, but you can sure bless who? God loves you. He loves to hear from you. He loves it when you speak in tongues to Him. You can always bless God. The secret to a holy life is not the labor we do, but just to love Him first and foremost. Then the work we do is not to be well-pleasing to Him, but because we already are. And I think we've learned this week that we already are well-pleasing to God. We're free from having to worry about that. And now we're free to serve each other. All right? So, okay, Father, thank You so much for the great grace in our lives and how so wonderful that You've called us to this great family. And thank You that You do work in us, that we can do incredible things for each other because of the manifestation. And thanks for showing us how we can really serve each other and take care of each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen?